So the general election campaign is officially underway from today. If the opinion polls are to be believed, we are heading for a hung parliament. That means Northern Ireland politicians and parties could hold the balance of power. They could help decide who becomes the next Prime Minister. Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy's with us today. Morning, Conor.
Morning,
as is Nigel Dodds from the DUP. Morning to you, Nigel.
Morning.
So what's your price for support, Nigel?
Well, we set out on Saturday our Northern Ireland plan. It's a five-point plan setting out our priorities in terms of any negotiations after the election, which puts us in a very strong position in terms of a balance of power. And, I mean, all commentators and anyone who knows anything about the Westminster scene, broadcasters, press, are all predicting that there won't be a majority for either Labour or Conservatives, and therefore the DUP could be very critical in terms of what happens in the next Parliament. And our approach will not be to prioritise the DUP, but to prioritise Northern Ireland. So if people want to exercise maximum leverage to maximise the opportunity for Northern Ireland, then the best way to do that is to have the strongest team of DUP.
Yeah. Well, so spell out to them exactly what they'll get in return. So what are your red lines? Help me understand them. I know you've set this out the weekend. What are they?
Well, we have set out our priorities, which is to make Northern Ireland an economic powerhouse, to deliver world-class public service.
Yeah, but that's very broad and vague, Nigel,
isn't it? Let me finish the list. You've asked me a question. To create a society based on fairness and opportunity for everyone, to make politics and government work better in Northern Ireland, and to strengthen the United Kingdom and protect and enhance our British identity. Those are the broad approach themes that we will take.
Now give me the specifics in your shopping list.
And in terms of the approach to our negotiation. Well, I can run you through the 30 or 40 specific items of policy if you want.
No, red lines. I want your red lines that you're going to say for our power, for our support, you get this.
Well, what we will do is set out in terms of the areas that we want. We want to ensure that Northern Ireland gets the best possible deal. We want to ensure the United Kingdom moves forward in a way that strengthens the union.
Yeah, but this is all broad.
I'm not going to set out today on the BBC with Stephen Nolan what our red lines are going to be, because we're going to negotiate with whoever is in power after the 7th of May.
Yeah,
we will set out very clearly, either Labour or Conservative, the best deal for Northern Ireland. That's our red line.
Yeah, but you see, when you say there, just in that last sentence, you revealed your mistake, Nigel. You're not going to set out your red lines to Stephen Nolan. Can I remind you something?
No.
You're in an election now. You need votes. So you're actually setting out your policies, not to me, I'm nobody, to the people who vote for you.
No, you're quite right.
The people who vote for you.
So the position is very clear. We're going to do the very best thing for Northern Ireland.
Give us your top red line. Give us your biggest red line that you're saying you're not getting our power and you're not getting our support unless. What's your biggest priority?
Unless you do a great deal for Northern Ireland.
Oh, come on.
Unless you do a great deal for the budget, unless you do a great deal in the social, economic and cultural.
Give us a specific.
Unless you move. Well, look, Stephen, stop interrupting me a wee minute till I finish. Unless you do the best deal for the United Kingdom, which is about strengthening the United Kingdom, unless you do a deal which actually deals with the deficit in a compassionate way and deals with our borders and an EU relationship which is based on a referendum.
Not one specific for the Northern Irish public this morning. Not one specific red line have the DUP got to share with the public this morning. Is that right?
Well, let me run through you in all the specifics. We want more satisfactory terms in relation to corporation tax. We want the national debt and deficit addressed in a way which secures economic growth. We want UK-wide tax policy improvements to encourage economic growth in Northern Ireland. We want a budget settlement which will allow real-term increases in health and education.
Still not specific, Nigel.
5 years. Capital investment. These are very, very specific. Capital investment to make our schools and hospitals fit for the 21st century.
How much?
Assistance to reform and transform our public services. We want welfare reform which will incentivise work but also protect those most in need.
That's broad.
The removal of the bedroom tax at a national level. We want a UK-wide definition of a victim, which excludes perpetrators. We want proper border controls and a tougher immigration policy.
Okay, so let's just take that one example.
No, hold on, you want the specifics. We want then a situation where we have the renegotiation of the UK's role in Europe and an early referendum on the European Union. We want defence spending protected.
Okay.
These are all areas. We want the protection of the Union flag and law. We want new parading legislation.
Okay.
So I can go on and on giving you...
I know you can. Well, they're not actually specifics, are they?
Some of the best deal for Northern Ireland.
I know you will. But you've just said there...
Thank you very much.
You've just said there, Nigel, among that list, that you want a definition of a victim to exclude perpetrators. So is that a red line? Unless a political party agrees to the definition of a victim in Northern Ireland, excluding what you describe as perpetrators, the DUP will not support that party.
We have set out all of these issues, all of these specifics, and we will then go and talk to the Labour Conservative, whichever one is biggest. And remember, we're the only party that isn't in the pocket of either the Conservative or the Labour Party, or haven't already sold their votes or are going to be too small to matter. And I mean, you'll be talking to Sinn Féin shortly.
I will.
Their position in relation to the hung parliament is totally irrelevant because they don't go, so they won't have any influence at all. But in terms of our red lines, in terms of our negotiating position, we will set out all these plans, all these proposals. We will then talk to whoever is the biggest party and whichever party wants to talk to us. And we will measure what they are prepared to deliver for Northern Ireland against our plan. And we will then say who is closest and who goes far enough to make it worthwhile for Northern Ireland to lend our votes to whatever policy or whatever vote or whatever government has been put forward. That's the approach that we will take.
One of the papers circulating, for example, that the BBC got a hold of over recent days said that there was a suggestion within some Tory ranks that they may get some of their 10 billion or their 12 billion of saving on welfare reform by taxing disability benefits. Would the DUP ever tolerate that?
No, well, we have said very clearly that our approach to deficit reduction must be one which is responsible, of course, but must be based on a compassionate way of dealing with people. And that is why we have talked about welfare reform, which incentivizes work but protects those most in need. The removal of the bedroom tax rate at the national level, we're already doing that in Northern Ireland. So we would not be at all happy or endorsing any proposals which would affect the most vulnerable and needy in our society, because that would be something that would be detrimental to people in Northern Ireland and indeed right across the United Kingdom.
Is there going to be a deal in welfare reform before the general election?
Well, that remains to be seen, Stephen. I mean, there already is a deal in welfare reform in terms of what should happen. The question is there going to be a deal in implementing it? The deal has been done. It was done at Stormont House. You have to ask others who are refusing to implement it what the position is.
Okay, Nigel Dodds, thank you. I know you have to go this morning. Conor Murphy now from Sinn Féin. Morning to you, Conor.
Morning, Stephen.
Of course, they take their seats, so they're fighting for the people at the next general election. They're using whatever leverage Northern Ireland will have. You lot aren't.
Well, I think any of the gains that have been made, certainly in terms of an increased budget, in terms of offsetting the worst impacts of welfare reform, have all actually been done here by locally elected politicians sitting around the table here, not in Parliament. The votes of the MPs and the DUP voted for the benefits cap when they were in Parliament in the last term, but none of the other MPs here who voted had any impact whatsoever in terms of welfare reform. And the thing which has mitigated against welfare reform is the deal that we have put together, which we're still working through, obviously, to try and offset the worst impact of that. And any of the big agreements which have happened here, and it's interesting, some of the issues that Nigel Dodds outlined are about unpicking some of the agreements in their own favour. But any of the big agreements that happened here, the Good Friday Agreement, all of the agreements since, the transfer of police and justice powers, have all been done here directly between politicians here and the British government.
Well, I don't know.
It's been done on the floor of Westminster.
I don't know if this is what you're hinting at, Conor Murphy. I don't know how many people noticed that within the last few minutes of that interview there with Nigel Dodds, he said that one of the red lines for the DUP in terms of them supporting any big British party across the water would be that the definition of a victim is to exclude perpetrators. Now, that would be the DUP trying to get Westminster to implement a UK-wide definition of a victim, superseding what Stormont would think and what Stormont would support. How would Sinn Féin react to that?
Well, I mean, as I said, some of the items that Nigel Dodds has mentioned are clearly about trying to unpick the agreement. And the reality is that the DUP have to share power here with us and with other political parties. And that is where these issues are addressed and should be addressed. And whatever colour of Westminster government over the last 15, 20 years has been very reluctant to interfere in things, whatever the in terms of squeezing our budgets and cutting the money available to the executive, they have always been reluctant to interfere in the political matters, which clearly need to be sorted out here. The issues around victims, legacy, and all of those issues are issues which have to be resolved by the parties here. And that's been a clear approach of every Westminster government since the Good Friday Agreement.
But
to try and use I mean, the leverage that they think they will have at the moment is hypothetical. It's all speculation. The Lib Dems were in with their own programme for government, and they were in a much stronger position to influence the last government and really have achieved nothing whatsoever out of it. I wrote back on some of their red line issues. So the reality is that these arrangements, legacy issues, and the issues resulting from our conflict, issues of identity and flag flying, those are issues which need to be resolved by elected representatives here, not through trying to put some pressure on British government to legislate in your favour of your argument and then try and impose that on society here.
Do you really not care if it's Cameron or Miliband?
Oh, no, instead, the return of the Tory government would be disastrous. I don't have a huge amount of faith in the Labour administration either if they come in, but certainly the direction of travel that has been undertaken by the Tory government, the $1.5 billion that has been cut off our block grant, the over $600 million that we now have set aside to offset the impact of their welfare reform, that has been disastrous for the executive here, and the plan of action outlined by George Osborne last week, which is to have deeper, harder cuts to take another...
It's a disaster, Conor Murphy, that Sinn Féin isn't doing anything to stop. It's a disaster that Sinn Féin isn't at the party to stop, because you won't take your seats. At least these other political parties are in there and they're using the weight of their vote. They're using their power now, and they've got power. If this election is neck and neck, a couple of seats could make all of the difference. And where's Sinn Féin? Not even at the party.
Well, it's 2 points to make on that, Steve. Firstly, that's our democratic mandate. That's what people elect us for, and they returned us time and time again in the constituents that we represent. That's the mandate that we're given by people. We have no desire to be part of the...
You don't know they elect you for that, actually.
Party. Sorry, just going to finish this. No desire to be part, and the people who vote for us have no desire for us to be part of the next British government. And we received the largest mandate in terms of votes cast across the 18 constituencies in the last general election. And secondly, all of the issues that you outline in relation to the budgets, additional finances for Stormont, the offsetting of the impact of welfare reform, were all done by elected representatives here, not by a single MP in Westminster. They were achieved by elected representatives here negotiating directly with the British government. And any of the significant agreements or achievements that have been made here over the last 15 years have been done in that way, not on the floor of Westminster.